Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you come on board with us as we face the issues day by day. We're going to be dealing with an issue today that I believe is perhaps the most seminal issue of the month, or in fact, of this year, perhaps, that we've dealt with on this broadcast. Let me encourage you, even now, if you're a pastor and you're listening, call other pastors and tell them to listen. If you're a member of a local New Testament church that is still closed, call your pastor and tell him to tune in today. If you are concerned about the future of the church in America, call others and invite them to listen to this broadcast today. I believe it's informative. I believe it'll be challenging and convicting. I believe it'll be a broadcast that you will not want to miss, and you will not want others to miss either. We're going to be talking about honoring Christ or Caesar. Should we honor the Lord Jesus Christ, or should we honor government when it comes to the life and the work of the local New Testament church? What does the Bible say? What is the constitutionality of it? What does it say in relationship to where we are in America today with the shutdown of businesses, the destruction of life and liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, as our Constitution talks about? Or is it, ladies and gentlemen, something where the government can, at a what I would call a willy-nilly decision, simply shut down America and shut down the churches? And more particularly, we're talking about the churches today. So call others and remind them of this broadcast. And that telephone number, if you want to have dialogue and discussion with us on this issue today, you can dial 831-0917. 831-0917. Your telephone call gets you directly through to the studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, your comment, your agreement, your disagreement with what's being said today. We'd love to hear from you. Love to hear your input, your questions or comments about this issue today. Honoring Christ or Caesar? I think we forget that there's a time for what is called history in history past and historically the right of civil disobedience. And I think sometimes we forget that those times perhaps are vital even today. But ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of Scripture. As we have said over and over and over on the introduction for this broadcast each day, God created the home, God created government, and He created the church, and in that order. And anything that disrupts in those realms, or anything that's challenging in those areas, are to be sought out based on the authority of Scripture and determined how we face those issues. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, it's based on the authority of Scripture. Jesus said in John 8:31 and 32 to His disciples, "If you continue in My word, then you're My disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." And then Jesus made a declaratory statement about Himself and about the Word of God. He said in John 14:6, "I am truth." And then in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus Christ declared, "Thy Word is truth." And so, ladies and gentlemen, it's not a matter of some denominational dogma or some ideological bent on some philosophical thought. It is based on the authority of the Word of God, which is the truth book. It is the inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God that I commend to us all, to follow what the Word of God says. And that is truth. It was George Orwell many years ago that said, "The further a society drifts from the truth, the more he will hate those who speak it." We find that to be becoming more and more true each day as we see it. more evident each day as we witness it, more obvious each day as we watch what is happening in the Beltway in Washington. But ladies and gentlemen, excuse me, it was the 15th century theologian and church reformer Jan Hus that said this: faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. Would you do that today? Would you make the determination that regardless of what the socialist, Marxist, BLM, Democratic Party, or the Communist Network News says, that you're going to stick to the truth of the Word of God and honor God through honoring His Word and what He says about these issues? We need to seek the truth, to listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm not saying this to scare anyone or to be doom and gloomist, but I believe as Christians we'll live to see, that is, before the rapture of the church, we'll see that it will be needful and necessary for Christians to stand on the truth, even if it means, even if we're in a life or death scenario, even if it means death, that we have the responsibility before Holy God to stand for truth, to stand on truth. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries a full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with a full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power equipment, landscape equipment, and hurricane backup preparedness equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old San Augustine Road, 11291 Old San Augustine Road. That's right at the intersection of I-295 and Old San Augustine Road. It's at the home of the gigantic U.S. flag. It's a flagpole that stands there at I-295 and Old San Augustine Road, 165 feet high, and with Old Glory flowing 24/7. Find the flagpole there. At the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, as I have urged you in the pre-introduction of this broadcast today, we're dealing with a subject that I don't know of anything that's any more urgent for us to hear and understand and to heed than what we're going to be talking about today. I urge you to tune in, listen, call others, get them to listen. Title of the broadcast today, the subject that I want to give us, the theme, if you will, is honoring Christ or Caesar. Ladies and gentlemen, just need to take a moment and do a little summary overview before we get to the essence of where we're going in this broadcast today. I've been pointing out the misunderstanding, the unconstitutionality, and the unbiblical things that's been happening in America since about March of this year. That's several months now. And we noticed the unconstitutionality of what the government authorities have been doing. Number one, in shutting down the churches across America. Now, they gave fiat orders to shut down all business and to shut down churches back in mid-March. And ladies and gentlemen, during that order, all of the businesses across America were shut down. You recall in March, America was warned that we had to close all businesses and all churches for 2 weeks. We were told it'd be 2 weeks for us to flatten the curve, as it was called, to prevent the spread of the Wuhan, China virus. And at that time, the false data was out of the London Institute, spawned by the professor that wrote the database that started it, Professor Ferguson, that was said that 2.2 million Americans would die from the coronavirus, the China Wuhan virus, if we did not close everything down. And due to the fear, due to the panic, due to the hysteria, all America closed. Their doors were closed, the businesses were closed, churches were closed. And then you recall Dr. Fauci and Dr. Birx and Dr. Tedros of the World Health Organization continued to deceive the president of the United States of America. Yes, I use that term. I believe the white-jacketed undercover agents, if you please, for a global world order, I believe they took a stand, and the president believed them and had to basically submit to what they were saying in relationship to the health of America. They continued to deceive the president. As a result, the shutdown confirmed and continued rather than ceasing and desisting, as well as the control of government on all of the national churches. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Some churches never closed their doors, and I'm thankful for churches that did not close their doors in fear and in hysteria over what was taking place and what was being said. By the way, the London Institute data and Professor Ferguson admitted the error. Professor Ferguson was fired from his position. Professor Ferguson was humiliated and shamed as a result of admitting, having to admit, that he used the wrong data, the wrong calculations to go into his computer to calculate and to project forward as to what would take place because of the Wuhan, China virus, as many call the COVID-19 virus. Today, ladies and gentlemen, we still have thousands upon thousands of churches across America that remain closed. Multitudes of these churches, according to the Barna Report, will perhaps never reopen because of a lack of attendance or the lack of funding to be able to reopen. Hundreds and hundreds may never reopen. Get the weight of that, ladies and gentlemen. We need to understand the weight of what we're talking about on this broadcast today. Honoring Christ or Caesar. Ladies and gentlemen, many of the socialist, Marxist, BLM-controlled Democratic governors and mayors via the selective orders have allowed, and I say selective orders, because, ladies and gentlemen, these fiat orders by the wannabe dictators in our cities and states across America, abortion clinics have remained open all during the pandemic. Abortion clinics have never closed. Pop shops have never closed. Liquor stores have remained open the entire time. They've never closed. Walmart, Home Depot, Lowe's, and all your major box stores, as it's called, they've never closed. They have not social distanced. You can go into any of those stores, and you find even to this very day, they're not social distancing yet. That is the requirement for churches today if they are allowed to open at all. Churches are ordered to have 10 to 15 people present, and some sanctuaries that'll seat 500 or 1,000 or more people, and they were ordered to reduce it to 5, 10, 15, or 25 people, and multitudes of the churches across America ordered to close summarily with no minimums and no maximums whatsoever. And ladies and gentlemen, many states have ordered churches to close completely with the stigma of what is taking place in China, with the fact that China has put this upon us, with the fact that China has released this virus, whether purposely or inadvertently, only God knows, and time will tell. I believe we'll eventually discover the fact. I personally believe it was a weaponized pathogen that they had released inadvertently and petrified, frightened them, they themselves. They've destroyed all of the evidence, destroyed all of the documents, destroyed all of the facts and the details of the research that they were doing at that era, at that time. But nevertheless, ladies and gentlemen, the virus seemed to be living only in churches. You know, I've used the term that COVID only lives in churches today. To hear the governmental agencies talk about it and the governors make rules and regulations that continue to hamper and to harm and to be abusive to the churches. We've witnessed, ladies and gentlemen, the aggressive, abusive, arrogant attitude and actions against churches and pastors and Christian ministries across America. I don't know how I can hammer that any more forcefully. I don't know how I could state it any more passionately than the fact that I am stating it today. Churches were fined, pastors ticketed, pastors handcuffed and hauled off to jail as a result of having services in the local New Testament Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Pastors were threatened and even arrested, and some handcuffed. One mayor even threatened to have the church building bulldozed. That was a complimentary statement made by Lori Lightfoot out of Chicago, that if the churches continued to open, she would give orders for them to be for abatement. Abatement means to consider it as to be abandoned and to bulldoze the churches, ladies and gentlemen. The governor of California even banned singing in churches. And in California, it's illegal for a church to open to have worship services ordered by none other than Gavin Newsom, the governor. Let me just give blurbs of two or three articles, and then we'll take our first caller. Ladies and gentlemen, here's an article that says, Liberty Counsel is preparing for the Romanian church case to have a national precedent with the U.S. Supreme Court. The pastors of the Elam Romanian Pentecostal Church and Logos Baptist Ministries both immigrated to America after years of living and preaching under Soviet Romanian rule. In the old country, no religion was free at all. Bibles had to be smuggled into Romania because the government dictated that the nation's religion was no religion at all. Pastors were arrested, townspeople punished. If the church met in the midst of their faithful ardents in the homes, even lost their livelihoods if they were to lie. Even private houses where underground worship services were held were demolished if discovered. When the pastors fled to America, they did so because the promise of America is religious liberties and freedom. But now, this is coming from Matt Staver at Liberty Council, ladies and gentlemen, but now these pastors are seeing the very same governmental attacks on religion they witnessed under communist Romanian rule. And he goes on to talk about Governor Pritzker and the other governors across the nation and the Mayor Lightfoot, et cetera, et cetera, and what they're doing in the sequestering and shutting down of churches and forcefully, by letter of law, if you will, threatening to destroy the church buildings or incarcerate the pastors. Here's an article that says when California Governor Gavin Newsom began implementing his illegal and unconstitutional, this is by Matt Staver, constitutional attorney, when he began to implement his illegal, unconstitutional church closings and restrictions, California Christians moved to worship the Lord in their own homes. Family and friends met in their, each one in the living room of the private for private Sunday school Sunday services, midweek Bible studies, and small group services. These faithful Christians determined that the Word of God and the Lord and His celebration of His name would not be stopped even at the time of COVID. But Governor Newsom would not be thwarted in his attempt to silence God's people and prevent the spread of the gospel. The state of California issued a mandatory directive making in-home worship, even small group meetings of Bible studies among neighbors in their towns, to become illegal. The order applies to more than 30 California counties, representing over 80% of California's population. Ladies and gentlemen, this article further says California Governor Newsom is promoting a Marxist uprising even as he tries to crush churches and even worship in Christian homes for Christian services. Ladies and gentlemen, here's the article. I've touched on it, but I'll give a blurb. Three California churches are suing Governor Newsom over the singing ban in places of worship. Not only is he banned worship in general, he's banned in-home Bible studies. He's by fiat banned singing if you happen to sing in a church, because he said COVID-19 comes out of the mouth of the singers, especially in churches, ladies and gentlemen. That is absolutely fiat. It's unfortunate. It is unconstitutional. It's illegal. And ladies and gentlemen, it is oppressive, and it's trying to destroy the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am adamantly opposed to it, and I've said so, ladies and gentlemen, for all of these months. Here's an article that says we've been essential for 2,000 years. California church holds services indoors despite the coronavirus warnings. A church in Pasadena, California is defying Governor Newsom's orders to shut down and is continuing to hold indoor services amid coronavirus pandemic. Services were held at the Harvest Rock Church on Sunday, during which lead pastor delivered a message to the governor. Now is being sued by a group of churches. The governor is being sued. That's what I'm saying. As pastor, he said, I believe we've been essential as the church of the Lord Jesus Christ for over 2,000 years, and we're not going to shut down. But ladies and gentlemen, the good news is there's another church in California that's taken a bold, aggressive stand. That's Dr. John MacArthur and his Grace Community Church. We're going to talk about that during the balance of this broadcast, what Dr. MacArthur's doing, what the state's doing. They're threatening to shut off his power if he continues to have worship services. And may I say with a little caveat here, Dr. MacArthur and I have some disagreement on some theological doctrinal points that I think's urgently, biblically safe and sound that we need to understand. But nevertheless, I stand with him 1,000% on his stand against the arbitrary, capricious, abusive approach to churches in the state of California and what's taking place there today. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, even some of the churches in California had decided that if we can't have indoor church services, we're going down to the beaches. The article says church services moved to the California beaches, sparking fear of coronavirus outbreak. With the coronavirus continuing to surge in California, officials imposed limits on indoor church services, but now they are concerned about several large church services being held on the beaches. By the way, you know, it was Dr. Fauci just a few months back warned that you can't go to the beach. If you go to the beach, you have to walk on dry sand, not wet sand, because after all, when the beach waves come in, the ocean waves come in, those ocean waves could be spraying COVID-19 all over the beachgoers. So therefore, you had to shut down beaches and you couldn't go to the beaches. Ladies and gentlemen, if it sounds hysterical, if it sounds unconstitutional, if it sounds irrational, if it sounds absolutely unreasonable, it's because it is. Now, I'm not saying that the Wuhan, China virus is not deadly. It is. But I am simply saying, ladies and gentlemen, in the perspective of what's taking place with the local New Testament churches across America, it is absolutely minuscule and inconsequential to what's taking place to God's people in the churches of the Lord Jesus Christ in the forced shutdown and what is taking place. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe we have a call on the line. Go over your question or comment, please.
I would like to proffer today that 250 years ago, this nation, before it was founded as a nation, this people recognized what tyranny was. That tyranny was bound up in King George. Today, we have a different kind of tyranny that has emerged. It is the tyranny of this bureaucracy. It's the tyranny of mayors and governors who completely fail to recognize God-given rights. It is amazing to me how we can so clearly spell out in a little four-page document called the Constitution of the United States, we can clearly spell out what government is supposed to do. And then we have a series of amendments to our Bill of Rights, which clearly articulates where government is limited. You can't do these things, government. Now, the wacko radical leftist in this country in positions of leadership have had no problem with the looting, rioting, the burning. Oh, I'm sorry. They call it mostly peaceful protest. Understand? They would clearly stand and defend those individuals involved in the rioting, looting, arson. I'm sorry, the peaceful protest. They would clearly stand with those people and say, you have a right to do that. It's in the Constitution, folks. It's freedom of speech. It's freedom of assembly. They would clearly stand for those. However, we also have another group of tyrants. I've just identified your governors and your mayors. I say we have tyrants in the courts. The fifth vote, many times, in that U.S. Supreme Court is a little tyrant, a little dictator, a little person that thinks that their decision should strip an entire segment of society from their rights, from their liberties, clearly articulated within the Constitution. Justice Roberts sided with those group of radicals on the court. And a clearly articulated right for believers, the very first one, folks, that right was stepped on. It was amazing that Justice Alito, in his dissent, indicated that, you know, there's no freedom to play craps or blackjack, but there's clearly a guarantee, the guarantee of a freedom for free exercise of religion. How in the world did five justices in that Calvary Chapel decision last Friday, how in the world did five justices ignore the Constitution, and vote against? And by the way, it was just a vote. When I say vote, it was political, folks. 70 years ago, that would have been a 9-0 decision. We have allowed, generation by generation, we have allowed radicals to come in and control that court. Just like we've allowed radicals to dominate academia. We've turned out generations of individuals that do not know their history. They do not know from whence they come. Therefore, they are willing to so quickly give it up, turn it loose, and exchange it for socialism. That same radicalism has invaded our courts today.
Absolutely. And as a result of that, and ladies and gentlemen, let me introduce our caller. This is one of our four sons. This is Greg Youngblood. Greg resides up in the beautiful mountains of Tennessee. And he tells me that when the rapture comes, he'll get to heaven first, sooner, because he's closer to heaven than we are here in the flatlands of Florida. But I am thankful. I'm thankful for his wisdom and his knowledge when it comes to our Constitution and our Bill of Rights and where we are in relationship to the system of jurisprudence in our nation. Greg, one of the great news stories for me, and I commend Dr. John MacArthur for his stand, one of the great news stories, I believe, of so far this year, is for a voice that is dominant and as proliferating across the nation and around the world as Dr. MacArthur, and his stand to remain open in spite of the governor of California threatening to shut off the power in his church. I'm going to take a moment and read briefly some blurbs from a major article on that subject. Then we'll continue our conversation on it, so hang in there. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm reading an article titled, Dr. John MacArthur's California Church Will Defy Newsom's Church Ban. Christ, not Caesar, is the head of our church. Grace Community Church in Sun Valley, California, announced on Friday that it would continue to hold in-person services despite a new edict by Governor Gavin Newsom, shuttering churches, restaurants, bars, fitness centers, hair salons, barbershops, and dozens of counties indefinitely. We cannot and will not acquiesce to a government-imposed moratorium on our weekly congregational worship or other regular corporate worship gatherings. The church, led for the last half century by Pastor John MacArthur, explained in a statement on its website, compliance would be disobedience to our Lord's clear command to gather together for worship. The church, by definition, is an assembly. The pastors and elders of the church explain. That is the literal meaning of the Greek word for church, ecclesia, the assembly of the called out ones. As a result, no earthly state has the right to restrict, to limit, or to forbid the assembling of believers together, end quote. Therefore, in response to the recent state order requiring churches in California to limit or to suspend all meetings indefinitely, we, the pastors and elders of Grace Community Church, respectfully inform our civic leaders that they have exceeded their legitimate jurisdiction, and faithfulness to Christ prohibits us from observing the restrictions they want to impose on our corporate worship services, according to their writing. History, Dr. MacArthur says, is full of painful reminders that government power is easily and frequently abused for evil purposes. The church argued politicians may manipulate statistics and the media can cover up or camouflage inconvenient truths, so a discerning church cannot passively or automatically comply if the governmental orders a shutdown of congregational meetings, even if the reason given is a concern for public health and public safety. The church explained that there are three God-ordained spheres of authority: the church, the government, and the family. And the biblical framework limits the authority of each institution to its specific jurisdiction. As a result, governmental officials have no right to interfere in the ecclesiastical matters in a way that undermines or disregards the God-given authority of pastors or elders in the church, end quote. The government, by banning worship services, has exceeded its authority, the pastor said. When any one of the three institutions exceed the bounds of its jurisdiction in the duty of the other institutions to curtail, they have overreached, he says. Official issues, orders regulating worship, such as bans on singing, caps on attendance, or prohibitions against gatherings and services, he steps outside of the legitimate boundaries of his God-given authority as a civic official and arrogates to himself authority that God expressly grants only to the Lord Jesus Christ as sovereign over his church. Ladies and gentlemen, Dr. John MacArthur's statements I have just read. I'll pick up some blurbs beyond that after our news break. But Greg, hang in there. Ladies and gentlemen, don't turn your dial. We're going to be right back. We're talking about today the subject, honoring Christ or Caesar, Which should the church do? To the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, honor government or honor God? That's the question that we're asking. And we're going to take about 1 minute, ladies and gentlemen, at the top of the hour for our news break. Following that, we're coming back. We'll continue that dialogue and discussion. Write the number down, 831-0917. We'll be right back as we continue Let's Face the Issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.